church has Alan or we discussed about the fact that sin makes us put things the wrong way round. Now, he draws a little target, and I was going to get a flip chart, but I forgot about it completely. A target with three circles, and everyone starts off with themselves at the middle, the most important thing in their lives, others around the outside, and then God right on the outside, if you're lucky, if they're at all. And actually what the Bible says is we should flip that and say let's have God right at the centre, then others, and then ourselves right around the outside, the least important thing. Now, as I said, the world gets things the wrong way around. And when I say the world, what I mean is actually all of us, not just non-Christians. Thanks, Seth. My son's helping out. But actually, everyone gets it wrong. We all tend to put ourselves at the centre and God somewhere on the outskirts. And I thought, okay, well, if the world gets things the wrong way around, I want some sort of proof for this. I want to be able to prove to you guys this morning that actually the world gets things the wrong way around. Now, I don't know about most of you, but I saw an advert by Greggs. Have you seen it? The nativity scene. And they'd replaced the baby Jesus in the manger. They hadn't taken him for a walk in his wheelbarrow with a sausage roll. And I thought, oh, that's shocking. And then I thought, they replaced Jesus with a sausage roll. How backwards is that? And then I thought, right, okay, let's prove it. This is an app on my phone that records your voice and then plays it backwards. Some of you may already get the punchline. Sausage roll. Oh, helps if you turn the sound on. So, sausage roll backwards is Lord Jesus. The world literally gets it back to front. Sausage roll backwards is law. Okay, it's law, not Lord. But it's Lord Jesus. Okay, 1 second. I'll do it through the app. Sausage roll. The world has literally got it back to front. Sausage roll in the manger is wrong. It should be Lord Jesus. So, if you think God doesn't have a sense of humour, he told me about that. Trust me, it didn't come from me. I was in the shower one morning, and suddenly I had God talking to me saying, Matt, sausage roll, it's all back to front. Say it backwards. And I was like, sausage, Jesus. Whoa, okay, this is big. This is massive. I don't think for a second that Greggs was allowed to do that by God just for my sermon this morning, but it's a massive coincidence that backwards sausage roll is Lord Jesus. So when we say that things are the wrong way around, it's just a representation of actually where our priorities lie. Now, I think that we focus too much on this kind of Christmas cracker compared to the real Christmas cracker. So we've already gone about the fact there's a joke inside here. Now, I don't think it represents even the Greg's joke or the funny coincidence. I think it's joy. Joy is different to happiness or even laughter. And I know for a fact there are people in this room today who have had an awful year. A really, really terrible year. And yet they are here, they are praising God, they are singing him praises, and they can crack a smile and be happy. Now, I'm not saying they are happy in the sense that they're feeling all good and happy in that sense, but they have what is known as joy. It's a state of being. It's even whatever my circumstance, I will praise God. That is what joy is all about. Joy is lifelong, not temporary. You can watch a funny film. 2 days later, you may have forgotten how you felt when you were belly laughing at a joke. Joy is lifelong. That is what I think the true cracker has as it inside it. Jesus can bring us joy. Now, the crown. Those things are rubbish. They're usually too small to put on, too thin to last more than about 10 minutes before breaking, or too itchy to wear for the length of a meal. Now, I could, of course, say that the crown represents Jesus being a king. And that wouldn't be wrong. But I also want to point out that because of Christmas, we can get a crown. Not a rubbish one that's destined to be crumpled up and thrown away at the end of a Christmas meal, but an everlasting one. Now, this crown is talked about in the Bible. I'm not making this up. It says that in Revelation, you will be crowned alongside Jesus. We will become co-heirs of Christ. Now, that crown kind of represents eternal life. At this point, I was thinking, okay, how am I going to talk about this? So, the thing that then came to my head was a really bad Christmas carol, which was, He knows when you are sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been good or bad. So be good, for goodness sake. Now, Santa Claus is coming to town. Everyone knows that, right? Tomorrow, Santa Claus will come to town. But, if I'm honest, the list that Santa makes, he's really lenient. Has anyone ever got coal for Christmas? No? Has everyone been perfect every year then, yeah? You're a liar, Kenny. You're on the naughty list. So I think actually that list is pretty bad. It's not really very accurate. I know for a fact that I've not been perfect every year of my life, and I've always been given gifts. So I was thinking, okay, is there a similar parallel type thing I can do here? Well, there is. In the Bible, it says there's a book. And if your name is written in that book, then you get a crown. You get eternal life. And if your name is not in that book, then you don't. And it's very real. There is no coal 1 year, but oh, okay, next year I can make up for it and get good. And actually, to be in this book, there are two ways. Now, Alan might look at me a bit suspiciously there. There are two ways, one of which is being absolutely perfect. You can't do that one. So there has to be an alternative. Now, I was also thinking about how great my parents are to me at Christmas. And even when I say to them, like I did this year, I don't want anything, they've given me a present. Now, God sees us as his children. And he wants us to get the gifts that he has on offer. So he goes, okay, I'll give you an alternative way of getting that gift, of getting that crown, of coming to see me forever and spending eternity in heaven. So what he does is he sends a little baby, not a sausage roll, a little baby. Yeah, okay, are you hungry again? You can have a sausage roll later. But he sends this baby Jesus. And actually what baby Jesus has done is allowed everyone to get on that nice list. And you don't need to be perfect. In fact, none of us are, so that's a good result. All you need to do, it says in John 3:36. Let me just get to it. If I can find it in my Bible. It's always a good sign when the preacher can't find something in his Bible. John 3:36. I know it off by heart, but I just want to prove that I've got it from the Bible. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. Now, the sort of entry fee, if you will, for getting into heaven is perfection. And none of us can pay that because none of us are. But in this verse, it says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. So actually, that's the one thing you've got to do. Believe in the Son. And as a result of that, it means that we then want to do better things. So these hypocritical Christians that you saw in that church sketch. Actually, you know what? A lot of this church, in fact, I can happily say all of this church, do things wrong. Every single one of us. If anyone disagrees with that, see me and I'll point you out where you're wrong. But each one of us does something wrong. Some of us may be hypocrites. Some of us may be more concerned about turkeys in the oven or putting out the best crockery and making a good show for our families, or concerned about trivial things or even sausage rolls. Thanks, Ken. But actually, we believe in the Son. We believe that Jesus came down to this earth, and more importantly, come back in a few months when it's Easter, he then died so that our rubbishness could be wiped out and we could take on his perfection. It's a bit like if you were at there at Christmas and they were handing out the presents from under the tree, and it gets to the end, all the presents are handed out, and one guy in the corner has them all, and everyone else has nothing. And he turns around and says, no, you know what? Everyone, you have these. I don't need them. You have them all. He's the only one that actually deserves them because he's the one that's been perfect all year. But actually, he says, no, you guys have all these presents that are mine. I'm going to give them to you freely. That's what Jesus did. He said, I'm the one that's been perfect and deserves to go to heaven. And he did go to heaven. But on the cross, he said, no, I'm going to take the punishment that everyone else deserves for not living up to what God wants. Sin, you know, people think of murderers, of paedophiles, of rapists, of this, that and the other. Sin is actually just that diagram, not putting God at the center. That's all sin is. It's very easy to sin. All it means is I'm going to think for myself first and God last. That's sin. It's falling short of his standards, which is saying God is number one. It's the first commandment. And actually, we're all guilty of it. So we need that one thing that can wipe it all out. Get rid of the coal and bring in the presents. Now, a few years ago, I did a similar talk at Christmas. And Martin helped me with a sketch, which was fantastic, where I was in bed and there was a present at the end of my bed. And I woke up and couldn't be bothered to open it. Didn't really want it. So you might think, oh, yeah, Christianity sounds great. Yeah, eternal life, blah, blah, blah. But it comes with a long list of rules and I don't want that. Or it's boring, it's outdated, maybe even worthless. That's the present at the end of the bed that's just sitting there. Don't want it. Too many rules come with that toy. I don't want to play with it if I have to play with it only on this day. And I can't do that. And I can only do it when I'm married and this, that and the other. Or, you know, it's actually outdated. Yeah, this guy was 2,000 years ago. No relevance to me whatsoever. Or actually, it's just all made up. Well, there are amazing things that you get when you realise what Jesus has done for you all. Eternal life is the obvious one. That's represented by the crown. But these presents that you get in a cracker, as was pointed out, they're absolutely useless. The presents you get when you become a Christian are amazing. The eternal life is the obvious one, as I've said. Joy, which I talked about earlier, also pretty amazing. Peace. Now, peace comes with joy. It's a sense of being okay, even through the difficult times. It's not just being quiet, although sometimes we wish that would be the case. And most importantly, a personal relationship with the person who created the universe. Now that sounds too good to be true and actually just mental, but it's the truth. And none of you here knew me before I became a Christian, but some of you here will have known some of the other people in this room before they became a Christian, and those people have changed. Whether you see it or not, whether it's obvious or not, they have changed. I'm not saying they're now perfect. They've not got God at the center 24/7. Far from it. If they did, then the world would be brilliant. But they've changed and they've realized that this amazing thing is out there and that they believe it. And that's all it matters. All that matters to them now is that this truth is out there. It even changes the way you see TV. Stephanie and I were watching Blue Planet the other day. Now, we used to, and I still do, love David Attenborough. I think he's brilliant. He's completely deluded. And it's very sad, but it's brilliant. I mean, yeah, I love seeing the creatures down at the bottom of the sea, but what I say to Stephanie is, isn't it amazing that God made that? And David Attenborough is like, this is a marvel of nature. Yeah, no, just God did it. Exactly, it was 4 billion or something silly like that, and they've not changed since. And I was like, what about evolution then? They've not changed in 4 billion years, but I also want you to believe in evolution, which means that things change over time. Okay, good. You know, the majority of the scientific world will say that I'm an idiot, and that's fine. The majority of the scientific world is wrong. I was a scientist. I've been brought up a big fan of science. My brother was a biochemist looking into the building blocks of life. He was a Christian and gave God praise for it and said, this is amazing what you've done. You can still be a scientist and be amazed by science, but you see God in it. So, each of these people that you may know who have invited you here today has changed. Whether you knew them before or not, they're no longer sausage roll followers. They're now Lord Jesus followers. Our target has flipped. We're trying now to put God at the centre, and we don't get it right all the time. None of us are perfect. It is real, and I can't convince you by my words. I never will. It's not something just to keep boring people busy on a Sunday morning and keep us out of the shops. And a lot of people who I work with said exactly that. And it was a little bit sad, really. They also said it's a brainwashing cult that preys upon the weak-minded. So I like to think of myself as relatively strong-minded, and those that know me will say that I'm stubborn-minded. But actually, it's not. It's all about one man who we celebrate the birth of tomorrow. Yes, okay, he probably wasn't born December 25th. In fact, I can tell you for a fact he wasn't. But that doesn't matter. We are celebrating it tomorrow. And the reason we have to celebrate that is that it's the ultimate Christmas cracker. Now, Jesus isn't just some cruddy little thing you can buy in the shops. He was a person that lived 2,000 odd years ago. It's written about in this book. And a lot of the people in this room know him on a personal level. The present is there. The ultimate Christmas cracker. Joy, eternal life, many other presents and gifts beside. So we all now have a choice. Continue to be satisfied by the temporary and rubbish version of a Christmas cracker, or think about the proper one. And I know that there's a lot of people in this room that would like to talk to anyone who even wants to know a little bit more about that, and I'm one of them, so if you want to talk about it anymore, please talk to me. Alan, put your hand up. That's Alan, he's our pastor. He will happily talk to anyone about this as well. And it's not because we want you to put money in the offering at the end. It's not because we want to somehow break the weight limit of this floor and break through to the charity shop below, which we're very close to this morning. It's not that we want more people in our club because it's cool. We want it for you guys, actually, because we care about you. And there's people in this room who I've never met before, and I'm saying this because I care about you. And that may seem stupid. I've never met you, but I care about you. And it can be life-changing. It can be amazing. And there are people in the room who have not been a Christian very long, and it's very evident that they are changing their lives. And it's brilliant to see that. And there's people who have been Christians for a number of years, and it's about time that I am one of them, got a bit more excited about it. So tomorrow, I do hope that every Christian in the room can really, really celebrate and just be overwhelmed with joy, with peace, with all the gifts that he gives us, and tell people about the real Christmas cracker. When you're breaking your Christmas crackers tomorrow, have a think about what I've said today. And if you'd like to know more, as I say, please talk to me or Dawn, who's doing the kids' work, so maybe not her, Michelle at the back, or Alan. Or Kenny, indeed. Yeah, Kenny, who will happily talk about sausage rolls all day long. Okay, I'm just quickly going to end in a prayer, but there's a little passage that was on the Facebook advert that I sent out, which is what the angels said to the shepherds on the morning when Jesus was born. And it said, I can't find it now, I've got it on my app here. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. So this isn't just for a group of boring people on a Sunday morning. This is for all people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. He'll be found, you will find a baby, not a sausage roll, wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. So that is what we're celebrating tomorrow. The God who created everything coming to earth to die for us and save us and give us the ultimate present. Okay, just going to end in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you came down to earth, that you said, I want these people and I want them to be in a relationship with me, and I know they can't be perfect, so I'm going to send someone down to sort it out. And that you sent your Son, Lord Jesus, who was willing and chose to die for us, for each one of us. Lord, I thank you so much that the ultimate Christmas present was given to us on that first Christmas morning. Lord, I pray that as we go out of this place,